We'd like to turn in your Bible this morning to the book of 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12. If you'd care to stand in honor of the reading of the word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles in the dispersion in Patmos, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for the sprinkling of his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring that what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Lord, we ask that you just speak to our hearts this morning. Help us, Father, to understand your word, and give me your word to speak. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Peter, the apostle, the follower of Jesus, the denier of Jesus, one that was filled with the Holy Spirit, and read about that in the book of Acts and how he started preaching the gospel. As Christ said, he was the cornerstone, the pillar of the church. He was one of the main leaders of the early church. And we know from history that the early church had a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, a lot of persecution. At the time Peter's writing this, I believe Nero was the ruler. And we know the history of Nero, the somewhat craziness that he had. He was considered to be a crazy person, burnt Rome or part of Rome. And he was blaming the Christians for burning Rome. History, I think, had something to the effect that he wanted to rebuild the city of Rome, and it had to be destroyed first, so he set about destroying it. He had to have somebody to blame for it, so he blamed the Christians. So they were greatly persecuted. A lot of them were being chased off into other areas. These churches that Peter's writing to here are in what is now Turkey, modern-day Turkey. So they were scattered around different people in different places. But I want to look just a little bit at the introduction here. First few verses. Peter's telling these people who they are in Christ, how wonderful they are, acknowledging a lot of the situation, a lot of who they are. But he starts out calling the elect. God chose us. God chose these people to be followers. God has chosen us to be followers. We're elect. We're picked by God. We're chosen by Him. And these people were exiles. In one sense, we all are. This isn't my home. Heaven's my home. So in that sense, we're all foreigners, in exile, pushed out of our home country, our homeland. But these people were even more so. They were literally chased out of their home countries, their hometowns, their home areas. So they're in exile. And they're dispersed. They're scattered. They're pilgrims, aliens in the land. These people that were from other areas are now in what we know as Turkey. It's not their home country, it's not their hometown, it's not their home at all. But they're there because of persecution. But we see that God chose them, just as He chooses us, in His foreknowledge. Not that He sees into the future or has a crystal ball, but it was a predetermined relationship. God fully intended to have a relationship with you and I, with these people, any that believed in Him. A predetermined relationship. In sanctification, they're being sanctified. Salvation comes through sanctifying. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works in our lives. The Spirit comes into our life, giving us life, new life, and making us like Jesus, forming us, molding us, shaping us into the likeness of our Lord and Savior. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. We can't change ourselves. There's so many people that are beating themselves up, trying to change themselves. We can't. The Holy Spirit will, but we can't. God can, God will, but we can't. It's the work of the Holy Spirit living within us. That new life that comes into us when we're saved, when we accept Jesus. He puts His Spirit within us, giving us new life, a new creation, being born again is one term for it. We're new, we're made new in Christ. And He also mentions here the sprinkling of the blood. That's based upon Moses. How Moses would sprinkle the people of Israel with the blood of the sacrifice for a cleansing, a symbol of cleansing. For us, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He was nailed to the cross. He shed His blood that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed and saved. Born again by God's mercy. All part of the salvation plan. God planned to restore the relationship between Him and us, that we can again be part of His family, born into the family of God when we accept Jesus. It's all part of salvation, part of the hope that we have. We have hope of a future, of a life forever with Jesus in heaven. We have that expectation because Jesus is alive. Yes, He was nailed to the cross. Yes, He bled and died. Yes, His body was put into a tomb. But praise God, He didn't stay in that tomb. He's alive. He's alive today. He's in heaven at God's right hand, interceding for us, His people. We have hope of an eternity, of a future with Him, an inheritance an inheritance that is prepared for us, planned for us, waiting for us. And this is an inheritance in heaven that will last. Everything here on this earth is going to go away. All of our stuff will be gone. All that we've worked for all of our lives will be gone. All that we have inherited from our parents will be gone. Nothing lasts. Nothing on this earth will last. But we have an inheritance to look forward to in heaven with God our Father, with Jesus our Lord. And nothing can destroy that. Nothing can take that away. It's being guarded by God. God Almighty is guarding this. God Almighty is in charge of it and taking care of it. Now, a lot of the reason that Peter wrote this letter was because the people were really going through some trials and trouble. I mean, they've been chased out of their home. They've been persecuted. They had to leave their home to stay alive. They're foreigners. They're aliens. Going through trials and trouble, suffering. But Peter says, these trials, verses 6 and 7, these trials won't last forever. They're for a little while. Yeah, they're real. They're painful. They're horrible. But they won't last forever. And there's a reason. There's a truth about the trial. They don't last. And they also have a purpose. God works through the different things that happen to us for different reasons at different times. We go through turmoil, grief, sorrow. But God has a plan. He has a purpose. These troubles, these trials come in different forms to different people. Some people have financial trouble. Some people have health trouble. Some people have relationship trouble. The enemy of our soul is out to destroy us in any way he can. So there will be trouble. There will be persecution. There will be sadness and sorrow, but it won't last. It won't last. We have a hope. We have a future. We have an inheritance in heaven that will last forever. And coming through the trials gives us a benefit, believe it or not. It helps us to realize and be aware that our faith in Christ is indeed genuine. If we come through the trial and we still trust Jesus, we know that our faith is real. It's not just a figment of our imagination. It's not just some nice idea, but it's a real, genuine, saving faith in Christ. God has made a plan for our future. God is looking after us every step of the way. And because of all these things, the introduction that Peter gave us, because of all those things, the hope that we have, the sanctification, the knowledge that God chose us, that we're born into His family, that He has a home prepared for us. Because of all these things, it helps us to be able to, as Paul said, rejoice. Rejoice in all things at all times. Again, I say rejoice. It's hard to rejoice when the whole load got dumped on you. You don't know what you're going to do. Things are going wrong. Sadness, heartache, worries. But we have a hope in Jesus. We have a hope in God, the living God, the creator of the universe. is looking after us, taking care of us, taking care of our future. He's guaranteeing our future, that we have a home in heaven with Him. And we can look forward to that, knowing that no matter what happens in this life, it's short term, because life itself is short term. It just lasts for a little while, and then we're gone. But we have a hope of an eternity with Jesus, a hope of eternity with God the Father, with our true Father in heaven. So we have hope. We can rejoice. We can be glad. We're born again. We're a new creation in Christ. The Spirit of the living God is put within us to give us spiritual life, where once there was spiritual death and emptiness. Jesus put His Spirit in us that we can be alive on the inside and live forever with Him. Lord, we thank You so much for this hope that You give us, this true expectation that You will take care of us, that You do have a home for us, and that it is guaranteed. Guaranteed by God the Father. It will happen. We will go there. You will take care of all things. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Savior. Our closing hymn will be Cleanse Me on page 657.